Good morning, and once again, welcome to all who we have in our midst. As always, I am honored to share another portion of the Word of God with you. We are continuing our study this month, dealing with our theme, Shining as Lights in the Midst of a Dark World. And over the course of the past couple of weeks, and so I guess you could say this month, we've been dealing with the theme of the Christian and social media. And I'm going to conclude our examination of dealing with that particular aspect in our study this morning. But before I actually get into that, just a couple of observations that I want to make, a couple of real quick things. First of all, as was mentioned in the announcement, our gospel meeting is very rapidly approaching. It begins 5 weeks from today, so it certainly is time for us to begin making our plans for that particular effort. Plan to be here every evening of the service, Monday through Friday, where we will be meeting at 7:30 each evening, as well as our regular times on Sunday. And, of course, look toward those friends of yours that you would like to invite, whether it be mouth-to-mouth or whether it be face-to-face. That's probably a better way to say it. Whether it be face-to-face or online, you know, using social media as an opportunity to invite your friends and so on to come to this particular effort. We have the topics that are going to be presented, and this will be revealed in just a couple of weeks, so that you can make preparation for those things as well. So keep this effort in your prayer and do everything that you can. And, of course, the other observation, I just wanted to remind you that next Sunday, being the first Sunday of the month, I'm going to be presenting a first principles lesson. And next week I'm going to deal with something based on a question that I was recently asked. And what I'm going to talk about is what exactly saves us. That is, looking at the various elements that are associated with our salvation, God's part, our part, and various things such as that, just kind of remind us of those particular elements. So come back next week for that particular lesson dealing with that particular subject. Now, on to the lesson at hand. As I've pointed out, over the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the importance of social media. And what we have addressed thus far is how, as in every area of our life, we need to realize that we are being examples. We are shining as lights. And we dealt with some strengths and some weaknesses, some problems with social media, and you might say many of those apply to the internet as well a couple of weeks ago. And then last week we went through a number of rules that we ought to give consideration to if we are online and if we are in some type of a social media format such as Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever social media accounts you have, there are things to go by. And I'm not going to repeat all that. Just summarize it with one verse. In Matthew chapter 7 and in verse number 12, Jesus said that whatever you desire that men do to you, do also to them. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So the idea there is the golden rule, as we call it sometimes. If we will make application of that, that'll take care of everything. Think about that as you go online and your engagements. But we just had a little bit more that we wanted to talk about, and actually a couple of weeks ago one of the observations was made to me. As you mentioned, a bunch of negative things about social media, and I could say the same thing about the internet. I'm going to talk some about that in the lesson today. But what about the good aspect of that? Let's just take a few moments and let's talk about the good that is associated with social media as well as with the internet. Using social media for good. And here's the first observation that I would make in dealing with that. And this is based on something that we talked about in the past couple of weeks, is make sure that you're not addicted to social media. Make sure that social media is not one of those things that takes away from your serving God or causes you to neglect God in other areas of your life, because it's very easy for that to happen. We noted last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse number 12, all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any of them. Even if something is expedient or lawful, we need to make sure we do not become addicted to that. And of course, we're talking about if we're using social media for good purposes. Still, Don't be addicted. And here's a little bit of a challenge. Take a break from it. You want to see how addicted you are to social media? Go a week or go a couple of weeks without being on social media and just kind of notice how much it has an impact on your life. And again, I've made the observation social media is not wrong. The internet is not wrong. It's what you do with it. But just check yourself and see whether it's something that's controlling you. And I'll tell you, no, that's good to do with a lot of things in our life. Not just social media. You know, take a break from television. You know, take a break from games, video games or so on. Whatever it is, surfing the internet or various things along that line. Take a break from something and just see how much of a grip it has on your life. It's always good to do that, to make sure that we are, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 27, I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I should preach to others, I myself should be disqualified. Make sure you've got control of who you are and that Christ is shining through. Which brings us to the next point, and basically the theme of our year is as you use social media, make sure that you are letting your light shine. As Jesus Himself taught there in Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 14, where He said, "You are the light of the world." And He said, "A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Don't hide your light. And then He says in verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." You let your light shine in everything that you do, and let what men see about you be good. Let it be your good works. Let it be your faithfulness to God. Let it be the fact that God is a priority or is the priority of your life. That His church means something to you. So that's something to give consideration to when we think about using social media for good. Another thought that we might give consideration to as we think about this is the idea of using it for the very purpose of reaching others. Use it as a tool to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That is the Great Commission. And it's kind of interesting that when you look at the Great Commission, you know, we've talked about authority in times past and how to establish authority for what you do. And we need authority for everything that we do. There's two types of commands in Scripture. There's what you call direct commands or specific commands, and then there's more general commands. The idea of a specific command is God has specified how to do something. And when God specifies, you have to do what He says. And you can't not do it and be pleasing to Him. You know, when he says, "Do not commit adultery," that's a straightforward command. Do not lie, be angry, and do not sin. Those are direct commands. Well, so is the command in the Great Commission in Mark 16 and 15, go. That doesn't leave you another option. That's not a suggestion that Jesus is making. He's saying you need to go. As a matter of fact, I heard a preacher one time in describing this, say, in reality, when you look at the way that it is written, Jesus is saying, as you go, as in Matthew 28 and verse 19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. As you go, make disciples." You have to go. That's the direct command. But now the other side of that is what we call the generic instructions. God told us to go, but He did not specify how to go. And when we look in Scripture, we find various different means that were used to reach the lost. So, as long as we have authority for the way that we do something, we have some discretion in the way that we go. And that's where social media fits into the subject. That is where your Facebook profile or your Instagram or your Twitter or whatever it is, that's where you go as a Christian and you use that as a resource to go. And you do so by using that to invite people. You know, statistics have shown that in the society that we are living in, social media is one of the most effective ways to reach the community. And we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, why that's the case. And what it has to do with is just the incredibly large number of people. It's roughly two-thirds of Americans and Canadians are online and have a social media profile. More are online, but more than two-thirds are on social media. That's where you have an opportunity to interact with them spiritually. That's where you're going to have an opportunity to invite them to our upcoming gospel meeting. Invite them to come gather with us as we worship God on the first day of the week. Come to our classes. Or something else that you may be engaged in some spiritual activity. Invite your friends and neighbors to join you. And so we have that type of an idea. And that is a very good way that we can use social media. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's why a few years ago, we started a Facebook page, and we have a Facebook page here for the congregation, and there it is. It's basically, you type in Rose Avenue Church of Christ, and will be what pops up. Or you can type in the at symbol at Rose Avenue CFC. That's the official description of it, and it'll take you directly to our website or our Facebook page. You can get information there about our upcoming gospel meeting as we post that and various things that we do. So social media can be a good thing. Use it to reach others. And along with that, use social media to encourage. You know, there's so many people today that are hurting. There are so many people today that are dealing with trouble, and you look at society and you see how messed up and how ungodly society is. I'm going to tell you right now, that rears its ugly head all over Facebook. You see all kinds of ugly things happening, and it makes the news quite frequently now. You know, people that, cyberbullying, as it is called. Social media is often used to do that. And there are some very tragic consequences with those things. Lots of lies and misinformation is dispelled through social media. And there are people who are hurting, and they will let you know that they're hurting in many instances. Well, what do you do when you see somebody hurting? You kick them while they're down, or do you encourage them? Do you stand there for them as a source of encouragement to encourage them to do the right thing and to hang in there and to not give up? To let them know that we're thinking about you. And if it's your brethren, let them know that you care about them and that you're praying for them. You know, and incidentally, I want to say this about, you know, if you tell somebody, I'm going to pray for you, you better be doing it. You know, that's a part of being truthful. It's a good thing. And quite honestly, we ought to be praying for more people. Not just our brethren. We ought to be praying for those in the world and those who are hurting in the world, that they will find answers for their hurts. And we know where the true answer is, don't we? It's in the Lord. Do we pray that they find that answer? Do we pray for them? And let them know that we care about them. How often in Scriptures are we encouraged to encourage others? Over in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse number 12, the Hebrew writer there says, strengthen the hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight the paths of your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Strengthen the hands that hang down, those that are discouraged. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse number 14, Paul there says, we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. Now, I realize that ultimately his audience there is brethren. But do we need to encourage those who are not brethren? Do we need to encourage them in the right direction? Maybe they're struggling with something in their life. Let's give them answers in one way or another, in a positive way. Rather than all the ugliness that is so much around us in so many places. That's a good way to use social media. Something else to think about is use it to be different. And you know, I've talked about this on many occasions. As a matter of fact, we had a lesson earlier this year talking about examples. What does different look like? And you can look at numerous examples in Scriptures of people that Jesus dealt with and others that they were clearly different. And they were so different that Jesus commended them because of their faith, which was different from the faith of others. Use social media to be different. Aren't we supposed to be different? We're not like the world. We are the remnant. We are the minority, not the majority. And that needs to stand out. Over there in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Peter there talks about how we've spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Notice verse 4. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. We are described as God's own special people, or, and as the King James Version uses that, His own peculiar people. We stand out. We ought to stand out. We ought to be different. We ought to be different in a good way. And with social media or whatever other resources we have, use it to show the world that we're different. Use it to show the world that you don't have to use profanity when you're engaged in conversations, either online or face to face. You use it to show that we can dress modestly at all times. Use it to show that it matters where we go. Be different than the world. That's what God wants us to do. That's what He expects of us. Use the social media to show that. And finally, don't let social media be the end of the conversation. You know, social media is not going to convert anybody by itself. You know what social media is going to do? Social media is an opportunity to introduce the gospel to somebody. It's the same as out there in the foyer, we have tracts on various subjects. Those are there for you to take and hand out, give to people. Sometimes we create invitations for you to hand out to people. Those things within themselves are not what will save somebody. They just give opportunities. Our Facebook page is there to direct people to an opportunity to study face to face. You know, when you look at your New Testament, you will find that every example in the New Testament of conversion involved a face to face conversation. Every example, without exception. You go through the book of Acts, you look at the example of Paul. Well, on the road to Damascus, he was struck blind, and the Lord Himself spoke to Paul on the road. Why are you persecuting me? But I'll tell you what the Lord did not say to him. I have saved you. What He said is, you go into Damascus and you will be told what to do. And in Damascus, a prophet is sent to him and tells him what he needs to do. Cornelius, an angel appears to him. He's described as a good and devout man, and an angel appears to him and tells him, send for Peter, who will tell you what you need to do. And that's just a couple of examples. Every example in Scripture involves face-to-face interaction. And that ought to be our goal. And use social media to create opportunities to study face-to-face with people. Think about that. And those are just a handful of good ways that we can use the Scriptures. You know, show your faith, demonstrate your faith, and let it not just be in word, but let it be in deed and in truth. As you read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, or as James in chapter 2 and beginning in about verse 14, there where he talks about faith without works is dead. And he says, you have faith, or you say you have faith and I have works. You show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Let what you say be backed up by what you do. And that can present itself on social media. So use it. Don't let it be the end all in trying to reach somebody. So there's some good things to give consideration to with social media. But that brings me to what I want to deal with for the rest of my lesson. And it's indirectly related to social media. And that is, we're going to talk about the internet in general. And basically the way to say that is social media is one part of the internet. But the internet is a whole lot more than just social media. So let's spend a few moments and let's just talk about the internet as we handle the internet as Christians. There's a lot to be said about this. You know, first of all, somebody might ask, what is the internet? And a technical description of the internet would be, a simple technical definition, is a series of interconnected networks that convey lots and lots and lots of information. As a matter of fact, they convey information on just anything you want. There's all types of information that you can gain on the internet. And with the technology that we have now and the speed with which you can gather information and watch videos and do whatever it is, we have so much more at our fingertips. You realize that you can carry on a conversation with the internet, and I guess this is social media or it could be a private chat, but you can carry on an online conversation with somebody on the other side of the world. And it costs you nothing other than whatever your internet service costs. That's pretty incredible to think about that. And it's instant. It's instant types of you. And if you've got the right equipment, you can actually do it with a face chat. That's pretty powerful stuff. Information is out there. And I know all types of information is available just at the click of a button. Literally at your fingertips. Good information. Lots of good information. And bad information. Lots of bad information. So it's up to you to use your wisdom to discern between the good and the bad. Because you see, the internet is just like social media, as we've talked about. It's not good or bad itself. Morally, the internet is neutral. The question is, what are you doing with it? How are you using the internet in your life? Are you using it for good, or are you using it in an ungodly way? Are you using it to strengthen yourself spiritually, or are you using it and abusing it? It's just something to think about. You know, and when I said virtually anything and everything is available online, it is. This is one of the concerns I have. You remember how we talked about last week how Mark Zuckerberg talking about Facebook and how there's virtually as many Facebook users in the U.S. as there are as there are people that profess to be Christians and believers in Jesus. That's the definition I'm given there. Not necessarily somebody that has obeyed the gospel. But the point one of his goals is for it to be something where people can interact the way that people used to do when they went to services. I don't care. There's a lot of people that use the internet for their church. There's a lot of people that might go online and watch a worship service and say that that's all I need to do. I don't need the local church anymore. And there's actually online churches. That's an abuse of what Scripture actually teaches about the church. About local congregations. Now we can use it to disseminate information and we ought to. But don't abuse the internet. Don't use it to get out of your spiritual responsibilities. So that's just some things to think about as we begin this. And with that in mind, we would ask the question, how can I use the internet for good? And let's just talk about a couple of things that are associated with that. Number one, let's use the internet to learn and to teach. And I'm dealing with spiritual matters here. You know, if we take the time to do our research, there's all kinds of good information out there. And in the field of Bible studies and so on, there are so many people that have basically gone to great expense and great effort to create websites where you have access to Bibles for free. online Bibles. You can compare versions. You can look up the original language, what the words mean, and get definitions and so on. You can get all kinds of information out there. That is very useful. And I'm going to tell you right now that there are brethren who have created very good websites that have quality scriptural information on them. They're teaching the truth. I'm not going to plug any of them in this lesson here, but if you want to know more about where to go, I've got some ideas of some things I can recommend that will help strengthen you spiritually and where you can get resources to help you if you're studying a particular subject on something. There's all types of truthful teaching that is out there. And could that be a part of your studying to show yourself approved or putting forth diligent effort to show yourself approved of God and rightly dividing the word of truth? Can you use the internet for that? It can help you. It can help you tremendously to do those types of things. But not only can we learn, we can also use it to prepare us to teach others. You know, prepare to study with others. And let me give you an example of this. Let's say that you have been presented with an opportunity to study the Word of God with, say, a Catholic. You can go to the internet and you can get an idea of what you're going to be talking about just by taking a little bit of time to study. And you can be prepared as you engage in that study that you are going to that you have been invited to participate or that you have arranged. We can use it ourselves. Many websites are used to explain what we believe and why we believe it. You know, to teach the truth, to explain this is why you ought to be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then go through the verses. This is why baptism is important. And so on. Another interesting observation dealing with this, using it to learn and to teach, has to do with portable devices. It was not too many years ago where portable devices in worship services were a distraction, and they may still be from time to time, especially when you forget to silence your cell phone or something like that. But here's the thing. I remember hearing sermons just a few years ago where a preacher would say, put your cell phone away. Put your tablet away. I'm going to tell you right now, you can't necessarily say that anymore. Because of what's out there, because of the technology, that cell phone or tablet may be somebody's Bible. They may actually be using it to study God's Word, to follow along in Scripture. One of the great things about the internet, and if you got a tablet, is if you've got problems with your eyes, you can blow the font up so you can see it bigger. So just because somebody has a tablet doesn't mean that they're surfing the internet. Doesn't mean that they're engaged in Facebook with their friends or playing games. Maybe they are. And if you are, shame on you. But the point is it may be being used for good. And that's actually a good thing. That's a good thing. Internet access is a good thing. We now have internet access, and that's the reason. Use it for good. And it's out there for benefit. As I said, there are some who stream their services or their lessons on the internet. Use it to let others know that we're here. You know, along with teaching, websites, it has been shown right in the time that we live, websites are probably the first place that somebody's going to go to look for a place to worship. And they're going to go and they're going to see, and incidentally, I recommend you do this. If you're going to be out of town, before you go on the internet and look up, where's a church there? And look at their web page. And see what they actually teach. See if they're actually teaching the truth or if they're teaching error. I know some websites hide that, but for the most part, you can go there and you can learn all kinds of good information You can learn times of services. You can learn where they are located. You can learn the order of services. And what to expect if you're going to visit, this is how we do, this is how we conduct our worship services. What we believe, and this is why. And don't make it some kind of a mission statement where you're, you know, where it sounds like a creed other than the Bible. But the point is show in God's Word. This is why we teach what we teach. And incidentally, that's why for a number of years we've had a website. I'm going to tell you right now, our website, roseavenue.org, is loaded with information. And the reason is I don't throw the sermons out. We've got 10 to 12 years, ever since we started the website, 10 to 12 years of sermons on the website. And every week, every sermon that's recorded, barring some technical difficulty, you have the audio, you have the outline that I use, which is the long one, not the condensed version, and you have the PowerPoint presentation. Those are all available for you to download and to share with your friends if that's what's needed. We have a website. And our goal is to teach others, to dispense information for good, with the hopes that maybe somebody wants to learn more and wants to study God's Word so that they can obey the gospel. Use the internet to save time. While the internet can be a waste of time, it can also save a great deal of time. It can help us to better manage our lives. It can save you all kinds of time, help you locate things so you're not wasting your time trying to find some place. Or even from a biblical standpoint, if you know how to search, it can help you find a verse or something like information on a subject. So there's a lot of good that can come from the internet. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's also some serious concerns about the internet. One of the concerns with the internet is the fact of what is an anonymity, or however you say that, being anonymous. And the idea of that is when you're on the internet, what you're looking at, typically if you're in your living room and so on, nobody knows what you're looking at. And that can lead to a whole set of concerns, things to think about. In our homes and personal devices, we have access to virtually anything from good to the most vile of activities that are out there. And no one knows what you're looking at, or do they? I want you to remember that according to God's Word, we read over in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse number 13 where the Hebrew writer talks about the Word of God is living, powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then in verse number 13 he says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." You may hide from man what you're doing, but God knows exactly where you're going. God knows exactly what you are doing. David over in Psalm 139, "Where can I flee from Your presence?" In verses 7 through 12. "And no matter where I go, I can go to the highest mountain, I can go to the lowest ocean, I can go to the deepest cave. You're there. I can't hide from You." So we need to understand that. And quite often, your sins will find you out. That's another warning of Scripture there. In Numbers 32 and verse 32 or 23, Moses there speaking to the children of Israel. If you reject God, you just understand your sins will find you out. God knows what you're doing. You will answer. We're told over in Galatians chapter 6 and in verse number 7, "You will reap what you sow." Whatever a man sows to his flesh, when he sows to the flesh, he will reap of the flesh. He who sows to the Spirit will reap of the Spirit. What are you reaping? What are you sowing? So realize that when you're dealing with the internet. And then that leads to a whole list of things that are just a click away. A few years ago, Joe Price, who we support, preached a sermon entitled The World Wide Web of Sin. Great lesson. And in that lesson, he noted some of the sinful activity that is just a click away. Just a click away, you find the lust of the flesh. And we're running out of time to deal with these things, so I'm going to address them more on a future date. I want to deal with some of these anyways as we go a little later on this year. But just a click of a finger, or just a click of a button, you've got pornography. Very prevalent in our society today. A great concern that can be an addictive behavior as well. Jesus Himself said in Matthew 5 and verse 28, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has committed adultery in his heart. It's a pretty strong statement. Job, I have made a covenant with my eyes, he said, but I will not look at a young woman. We need to think about that. At just a click of a button is gambling's available. It is estimated that should be 2017, not 2007, but in 2017, online gaming netted about $250 million in the United States. And a lot of it was compulsive, addictive behavior and so on. And actually, if you look at the numbers that are associated with gambling in the United States itself, all types of gambling, it's about $150 billion. A lot of it sponsored by governments. You want to know why those want to know why those lottery jackpots get up to $700 million or whatever it is? Think that has anything to do with people spending billions of dollars buying lottery tickets? You think they're losing money while they're doing that? And a lot of it there's a lot that goes on online. And gambling is contrary to many principles in scriptures. It's contrary to the principles of work. It's contrary to the principles of covetousness. It's contrary to the principles of being content with what you have and various other things. Go a long ways talking about that. Then there's the idea of fornication itself. Illicit sexual relations. Homosexuality. Adultery. Premarital relations. You can find it all online. Remember a few years ago, the website Ashley Madison, and how it was, and basically that's a website whose tagline dealt with cheat and don't get caught or something like that. That's not the exact wording, but that was the idea of it. There are websites out there designed to help you commit adultery, to help you cheat on your spouse without getting caught. That's what's on the internet. So be careful. Now we can deal with these things. We can do a filter. We can filter ourselves. We know that the scriptures teach us fornication in all forms. Sexual immorality is sinful. Hebrews 13 and 4, the marriage bed is undefiled, but adulterers and fornicators God will judge. That's one area that's a concern. Another area we might think about is human wisdom. You can be exposed to anti-Christian and anti-God resources. You can be exposed to rebellion and hateful speech. You can be exposed to atheism and skepticism and every other worldview that you can think of. As Christians, we are to make a distinction between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of man. So if you're going to surf on the internet, and it's not wrong, you just be careful where you go. And make sure that it's not the wisdom of man that's influencing you. And a specific type of human wisdom is false doctrine. And how much does the Bible warn us against false teachers and false teaching? And how we need to be aware of those things. I'll tell you right now, the internet is a way that false teachers use to disseminate their information now. They'll create a website and do what they can to draw people to that. That's why we're told over in 1 John 4, 1 to test the spirits whether they are of God. And finally, The internet can be an absolute waste of time. You know how I talked about a few moments ago? Use the internet to save time? True statement. But you can also use it to waste time. How much time do we spend, you know, researching our hobbies and our interests? Or searching for whatever it is we want to. And I'm not talking about the sinful stuff here. I'm talking about stuff that's not wrong within itself. How much time do we spend with video games? Watching movies? On the internet? Even the good ones. Does it get in our way of doing what we're supposed to be doing with our jobs and spiritually as Christians? It can be an incredible waste of time. Again, it's not wrong to spend time doing some of those things. It's about management. It's about redeeming the time, using your time wisely, making sure that you use it the right way. So, you know, we can see the internet. It's here. And as we've noted in these lessons, it's here to stay and it's a part of our lives. It can be used for good, but let's make sure that we do not use it the way that the world uses it. Let's conclude with Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 12. Romans chapter 6 and in verse number 12, Paul there says, he makes this point where he says, "Therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies that you should obey its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall have no dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." Don't let sin dominate you. Whether it be what you're watching or how much you're watching. Just think about these things. What is your online activity saying about your example and what your priority is? Let's think about these things, and the lesson is now yours. Open your songbook now to number 657. What will your answer be? This is why lessons like this are important. Because one day we're going to stand before the bar on high and we're going to give an answer for where we are and what we have done. What kind of an answer will you give on that day? Have you ever obeyed the gospel? What's your answer going to be if you have to stand before God having not obeyed the gospel? If you need to do that, take care of it now. If you're a child of God and you've not lived the way that you ought to, what kind of excuse are you going to give to God that He will accept? I'll tell you the answer. None. So if there's something that you need to do to make yourself right, do whatever it is. If there's any way we can help you, we're here to pray with you and pray for you. So if you're subject to the invitation, come forward as we stand.